It must be Thursday, because you're listening to the Two Smokes Podcast with Thundersnow and the Wiggle Rat. Welcome back, folks. Tonight we're talking about fanaticism and the tendency of people to blame everything on that one special hated topic they have in their hearts. With a special shout out that we didn't quite make into the show for listener Arijah for the wonderful artwork he sent, please sit back, relax, and enjoy episode 15, Call Me Ishmael. He piled upon the whale's white hump the sum of all the general rage and hate felt by his whole race from Adam down, and then, as if his chest had been a mortar, he burst his hot heart shell upon it.
Hi, and welcome back to the Two Smokes Podcast. I am the Wiggle Rat, and across from me is the Alabaster Ahab himself, Thundersnow. And we kind of wanted to talk about this weird phenomenon that we're seeing, because let's face it, we're constantly trying to encourage y'all to kind of calm the fuck down and talk to each other, because that's good, believe it or not, for society as a whole. And one of the things that we see is we see these people build these almost archetypical pillars of just this fucking vile hate. You know, the same way with Ahab and the whale, we have people who will blame, whether your thing is, every evil in the world is Trump's fault, or every evil in the world is part of the libtards, or every evil in the world is the women who won't give up the pussy. Or every evil in the world, whatever your thing is.
It's the fags. It's the commies.
It's the fags. It's Big Pharma. It's the Russians. It's whatever,
it's
dude.
It's Brett Favre.
Hey, Brett Favre. Wait, dude. Wait. Brett Favre never did nothing to nobody.
Yeah, that's kind of my point.
But to be fair, I guess if you're one of the other teams in the NFL, you'd be pretty bitter at Brett Favre.
Well, I mean, everyone's got their thing, right? And the problem comes from putting too much fucking power into it.
Well, and so how does that happen?
Single-mindedness?
Because you start out with this one little thing that pisses you off, right? So, for example, I may not have one demon, but even I'm not exempt from this. Because you know what I fucking hate? I fucking hate Microsoft. Like, a lot.
Microsoft, EA, Movie Bob, George R.R. Martin.
That's going to be the big lesson for this episode, is spread your evil out. If you're going to hate something, hate a huge palette.
Well, hate, dislike, feel angry about whatever.
Okay, yep.
Spread it where it belongs. Instead
Stupid,
of false
right.
attribution, it, you know, everything would be fine. I lost my job because Trump is a dick.
Which is probably not true.
Right. Well, and so at the end of the day, it comes down to, if we look literally at Ahab, it comes down to own your shit. At the end of the day, that's all it is. Take responsibility for the things that are yours to be responsible for, and don't lay blame at other people's feet. That's really what it comes down to, right? You let a hatred start a fire, and then you just feed everything into that fire.
But why would you feed everything into that one fire? For example, I believe that my complaints against Microsoft are at least somewhat legitimate. And we're just going to go ahead and skip that, nerds. All I have to say to you is the dog whistle words, walled garden. And you
I could fill 45 minutes on that subject, I will prevent myself from derailing in the first 5 minutes.
And I'm just going to go ahead and footnote this by saying, as an Apple fucking fanboy,
what
your
what,
walled garden is even tinier.
What is
walls.
The fanboy? I see, this is the thing. Between you and Kenny, I feel like I don't know myself anymore. I got four machines at the house at the moment. The only Apple-branded machine in my office is on the floor disconnected.
And well, it fucking should be, sir.
Well, it's fucking 12 years old. It has not aged like fine wine.
Don't let him kid you, folks. He used to have the Apple MacBook. He used to have an iPod.
Oh, I still have a MacBook and I still have an iPod. But when was the last time anybody used an iPod?
Beats the fuck out of me.
I have an iPhone because I want a phone that I just pick up and use.
Right.
I don't want to root my phone and customize it
It's not good for anything until you root that fucking phone.
It, you know what? It sends texts and it makes phone calls and it holds my calendar just fine.
It sends texts eventually. And you've got 3,000 fucking emails you haven't checked.
Well, that's not true. I haven't... Well, okay, yeah, that's true. Dude, I also have a dozen fucking email addresses, so you gotta give me a break there.
Yeah, that's not me oppressing you, dude. That's not email oppressing you. That's you. That's you subbing to email.
Dude, I'm a fucking popular guy. I don't know what to tell you. Man, people lining up from coast to fucking coast to get a piece of this app. But no, at the end of the day... Righteous indignation is a drug, just like anything else. Once you give over, I mean, I would equate the kind of fanaticism that's demonstrated by Ahab, it's no different than the religious fervor that comes from casting it all aside, right? I'm just going to go with the flow, Jesus take the wheel, whatever way you want to call it, and... It's at first a release. It's a catharsis. I can let myself go. I can absolve myself of any responsibility I have for my situation. It's completely false logic. But once you start that burning, it feels really good to keep throwing shit on it.
So what you're saying is that in a way, us building these towers, these monuments, these pillars of evil that we can, right. that we believe affect and destroy our lives... is sort of like the I don't know, the yang to us building, for example, a religious structure.
I wouldn't say that it's even yang. I would say they're all totems, and whether it be a cult, whether it be an organized religion, whether
I'm saying
it be...
one is arguably friendlier and more benevolent.
We have a different perspective on that, but okay. I'm saying
at least from the perspective, nobody ever says Jesus ruined my life.
Ooh.
Well, except for the people at Jonestown.
I think you could find a whole lot of people that speak very vehemently against religion and how they've been wronged by it.
Well, but that's not, you gotta admit, those are outliers, man.
Well, they're outliers simply because you're by default a Christian in this country. By default. Assumed. So we are a nation under God. I mean, it's assumed that that is the religion of this country, and that's what you are until you self-identify as other.
I don't know what the right word is.
It's not Catholic. It's Christian, or it's
no,
whatever
no, Christian
the actual
is,
word is.
Christian, followers of Christ. Christian right. pretty much encompasses that. But I've always
right.
had...
Whether you're the ones that never get haircuts and wear the jean skirts, whether you're the ones that marry six people... Wait, whatever one wait, you are.
Wait. To be fair, those are all branches of Christianity.
Right. Whichever one you are, that's what the people of this country are identified as a whole. A lot of what you see, the unrest that's coming out these days, the stuff that's fueling all of the white power and the white nationalist movements, it is. I heard a guy, you're going to give me hell, but I was waiting for... Deadpool 2 to start on HBO.
Oh, God.
And I heard the last 5 minutes of the last Bill Maher show.
Oh, God.
And one of the guys he had on referred to the Browning of America.
Okay.
And how what you're seeing is you're seeing Trump going, I'm going to give you your country back. And in that perspective, we all know what he's saying is this guy's point.
Okay.
He can't come out and say, I'm giving America back to the white people. But to his base, that's what that message is. From a religious standpoint, any time that you abandon responsibility for your actions, whether it be for a good-natured reason or a bad-natured reason, you are absolving yourself of all of this, and it's not a good thing. It's not a healthy thing in any way, shape, or form to just throw up your hands and say, okay, I'm going to go where the tide takes me. Or where the good Lord takes me, or where the winds of change take me, whatever fucking bullshit.
Or I can't do shit in this economy. Yeah.
Right. And you're going to take it. So you see people all through Europe giving up. You know, their economies are collapsing. You know, it hasn't happened here yet. It's starting.
Oh, it's not starting.
Sure it is.
Dude, look at it this way. I'll believe that you really think it's starting whenever you drain your swimming pool and fill it up with dried beans and rice.
No, because here's the thing. I'm not a part of the group that's going to feel the opening salvos of that. I am not someone whose finger is on the pulse of what's happening there because I'm not in that situation. But there are lots of people who are. And a lot of what people like to call white privilege really has nothing to do with being white. It has to do with being of a class that you're not impacted by those problems yet. There's an insulation between you and the real issues, right? So you take that issue, you take that thing that's affecting you, and it becomes kind of the central point of everything in your life, right? When you're hungry, what else matters?
Just the food.
I'm going to go over here. There's some real nice pussy over here. I'm hungry. Okay. Well, yeah, but what about I'm hungry? Well, we got this. There's a game going on over here. There's this thing you like. None of it matters. I'm hungry.
I got to get something to eat. Yeah.
And that kind of drive and that kind of motivation becomes self-perpetuating after a while, right? We talk all the time about people who are, you know, one issue voters or one issue protesters, right? I want to protest how we're global climate change is affecting the world. So I'm going to jump in my Jeep Cherokee and I'm going to drive down to the thing.
Why got to be Jeep Cherokee?
And I'm going to, well, because the Hummer is so outdated, right? But no, I mean, there's all these people, and it's an affectation these days. It's a badge of being part of the fight. It's your ticket for entry into that group that you want to be part of. It's all of those things. And at the end of the day, it becomes the outward facing part of your identity. He's the blah guy. He's the blah, right? You can always build any microcosm of people, right? Any small community of people. You can always kind of get in there and learn. Well, that's Pete. He's the guy that cooks fish in the company microwave. That's Steve. He's the guy who stands at the urinal with his pants around his ankles. That becomes how you're known.
Okay.
And all you have to do is look at any comments stream on any media site in the world to see it. The new Drake album sucks. Well, the new Drake album sucks because Drake hates white people. No, Drake loves white girls. You're all trying to take our women. That's you're going to get that before the first scroll, dude. Whatever the digital equivalent of above the fold is,
right?
That's where you're going to get that. So it's become kind of this, I don't know, it's become this focal point of this is me. This is the representation of me. I hate that, and that is trying to fuck me. Full stop.
Well, and that's somehow having a strong political opinion or just hating something is starting to get mistaken for having a personality.
Yeah, because it's all that anybody wants to know about you.
That's fucking weird.
I don't need to know anything more about you to know whether you and I will get along than to know where you stand on this matter. If you do not agree with me on this matter, there's no point. Move on.
Wait. That's just... Why would people do that? That doesn't even fucking make sense.
It doesn't, but here's the thing.
Because let's face it. I generally, even though shit got really, really weird and really, really extreme, I still identify as both Republican and conservative, even though the world doesn't identify me as such anymore.
Sure.
So... But let's face it, there are certain views that I hold that are remarkably liberal. For example, I'm pro-choice.
Right.
For ethical reasons, not moral ones. And if you just ask me, hey, are you pro-life, pro-choice? Oh, I'm pro-choice. Oh, fuck you, you kill babies. Whoa, sure. wait.
First of all, I have never killed a baby, yet alone babies. But, no, but that's where it comes down to, right? We have become so distracted, so put off of everything else that there's so much anger that it can only apply to one thing. And you can't wrap your head around anything else. So you slowly but surely rationalize that if it wasn't for that one uber bad thing, none of this other shit would be happening.
The thing, the disconnect is that one uber bad thing doesn't affect everything, whether you believe it or not. It really doesn't.
No, and I believe it. And we can sit here and we can have that conversation. In the middle of a moment of distress, even the most well-adjusted person is apt to rationalize the hell out of how they got there. Right? Oh, yeah. It is not in human nature to go, my, how did I fuck myself like this? It's not in human nature. It's
I don't know. I have that conversation with me a lot.
It's in human nature to sit. Well, yeah, you have that conversation a lot, but you don't really have it in moments of great despair.
Yeah, to be fair, normally it's kind of 2020.
Right, yeah. An introspective moment when things aren't going badly, or hell, when things are going well, yeah, you can afford to be that guy.
How did I do this to me?
Right. Well, you know, and anybody who's lived on the skin of the world long enough, you know, to sit back and just kind of take stock, right?
Yeah.
How did I get from there to here? That's normal. That's something that you're supposed to do.
So how is it we are arguably lonelier now than we've ever been, mm-hmm. right? I mean, not you and I, but as right. a society
well,
as
you
all.
Never call, you never write. No.
You just use me for the podcast.
You just want my microphone.
Oh, God, can we not say that? But no, so you would think that we would have these moments of quiet introspection. You know, you would think that there would be fucking poetry books turning out left and right every day.
There are.
Are there?
Oh. Goddamn right there are.
Yeah, that should have been last week's episode. But, but instead of getting some kind of constructive mirror-looking introspection, people are like, nah, fuck that mirror. It's the evil Cheeto. It's fucking Nancy Pelosi. It's, you know, what's her name? AOC.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's,
The Muslim from Idaho, yeah, whatever her name is. Yeah,
the Muslim from Idaho. Did you ever think you'd see a Muslim come out of Idaho?
It's like Idaho or Iowa or something, isn't it?
That's just weird. I don't know. We'd have to look it up. But, it can't be. Dude, it's got to be California.
No. It's not. It's definitely Midwest.
Crazy.
But no, I mean, the thing is I don't believe that for a lot of people these days, there are tons of moments of quiet. Everything in our life is designed to keep us distracted. You know, the television is on 24/7 in way too many homes than there should be. But that's not new. That's been a problem since the 80s. The difference is the tone of the television has changed. In the 80s, the television was on all the damn time. And at breakfast time, Petticoat Junction was on. And at dinner time, Benson was on. And you know, there was must-see TV and there was TGIF. What do you have now?
I have no idea, dude.
There may have been, you know, some biases in those sitcoms, but not, I mean, we just started in my house. I watched the first episode and I kind of punted because it almost seems like Touched by an Angel meant Lost.
Wait, what are you watching?
It's a show called The Village.
Oh.
And basically it's like an apartment building and all the people in the apartment building have issues in their life and they band together and blah, blah. And I'm pretty sure.
It sounds like Love American Style Ghetto Edition.
Yeah. That applies too. But it's every possible permutation of the characters that you need to have these days, right? There's the pregnant teenage girl. There is the war vet amputee with PTSD. There is the old man that's in the retirement home and his grandson who's going to be a lawyer, blah, blah, blah. You know, a woman who's in the country illegally. All of these things. And every single bit of it. You know, I was annoyed when it started to become product placement. That was annoying. Well, let me look over here on the Microsoft Surface and see if I can find out. That bothered me. You know, if things don't change in the White House soon, directly into the programming. So that's the noise that's coming at you these days. You know, the fire truck show, the show about firemen, is this one's gay, this one's banging that one, right. And this, and it's like, do these people ever put out fucking fires? I walk past that shit, you know, every week. Never seen him put out a fire.
Oh my God, this building's on fire. I'll be right back after I have some gay sex, and then we will put out that fire.
Right, or you know, please don't let that one find out that I'm banging that one because that one is friends with my dad. This, and, but I mean, the constant, God forbid you live in a house where they put the news on 24 hours a day.
Damn.
That's just constant screaming, right? You get all this. And everybody, I know last week you were talking about how content just doesn't get out. Content does get out. It's just finally controlled, right? The news channels and the 24-hour financial channels and all these other things, they're putting out a constant spew of shit. The NRA's over on their channel putting it out. Everybody's putting out content. And more and more and more, it's divisive.
Well, and that's what I'm trying to fucking get to the bottom of here, is it's easy to polarize these things whenever you have actual fucking polls.
Right. Right?
Or when you have polarity. Right? Whenever you have these...
I was going to say, I don't know what the Polish have to do with it, but...
Right? No, it's not Polish people. They're not the problem. They're wonderful people and probably not clever enough to download a podcast. But it's, I'm sorry. When I was a kid, Polak jokes were considered very acceptable. They're not acceptable now.
Nothing's acceptable anymore.
Don't tell anybody I told that joke either. But no, it's... So how do you get away from it? How do you tell somebody who's built their entire mind and structure and sort of tuned it to the fact that there's this one great evil... You know, whether it's, you know, the Illuminati or Wall Street rich people or...
Right. The 1% did this to me. The corporate giants did this to me.
Right. Oh, no. It's the Jews because they control Hollywood.
Right. Well, you know, and again, another sentiment from the olden days that never truly went away, but boy, it's resurging now.
What's that?
Anti-Semitism.
Oh, yeah. Which...
It's lockstep with white nationalism. It always has been.
Which is weird.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. When you have a movement that's designed to elevate one group above another, full stop, the only way you get there is by tearing everything else down. And the wider you can spread that hatred, right? The more targets of your hatred, the wider your base.
Well, and yet, as you said, white nationalism constantly... I don't want to say singularly because that's not true.
Right.
But their focus is the Jews are running everything. Incidentally, folks, feel free to go ahead and look this up. There aren't that many Jews in America, and they don't have that much money. Seriously, look, the numbers are there to see. IRS, census data, you can find that data out there. There literally just aren't that many Jewish people, and they don't have that much money.
But at the end of the day, if... the Taliban, if Al-Qaeda, if ISIS only existed to blow up places in the Middle East, they would not be getting, you would not be having people radicalized in other countries going there to fight with them. They hate everything about all of these people, which gives them a huge sample to pull from. Well, don't you hate the Israelis? Well, no, I don't hate the Israelis. Oh, well, you definitely hate the Libyans. Yeah, I hate the fucking Libyans. We do too.
Yeah, we do too.
Come on in.
The enemy of my enemy is my friend, right?
And the water is fine because at the end of the day, I don't value you at all as other than a warm body, right? Membership plus plus allows me to show that my message is strong and that the world needs to listen.
Well, and I. So a lot of what precipitated this was also the fact that, you know, I was talking to listener Kenny. And we were discussing, you know, the nature and percentage of transgender people in population.
Right.
And regardless of how much someone may vilify that particular subset, mm-hmm. right, and, you know, may want to describe it however they want to, the simple fact of the matter is there's not that many of them. Right. So just like the amount of money, whether or not we should build the border wall.
Right.
Right. That was such a frighteningly, vanishingly small fucking sum of money in the scope of right. the national
when
budget.
Compared, right. To right the
when compared as a part of the national budget. Why are we bitching about this? Why are we shutting down, granted, rather small and inconsequential parts of the government? But still, it did happen. It did happen. I mean, what was it? Non-essential services or whatever they called it. You know, some park ranger missed a check. Or actually, he didn't. But
he missed it. In theory, he got it back.
Yeah. Which is kind of a shitty thing to do.
But, well, it is. But at the end of the day, that had very little to do with funding the wall. It had everything to do with pissing contest.
So how else, other than through rigorous mathematical analysis, can we actually begin to look and go, why are we fighting about this? This is such a teeny tiny part. Again, like I said, today I went and I kind of did a by-the-numbers thing on the percentages and actual numbers of transgender people
right.
in America based on the best data that I had access to.
Again, another demographic well-known for advertising itself, especially to mainstream media.
Well, and again, I'm sure there are plenty of people out there who probably very, very discreetly hide it.
Right.
Right, or maybe you're on the bubble and they aren't sure, or have maybe thought about it, but da, da, da. It's a very hazy question.
Right.
And without some, say what you want about the Kinsey scale, right?
Right.
If this Kinsey scale, what is it, was 0 to 6, where 0 is completely heterosexual, never had a gay thought in your life,
right.
And 6 is, six no, is, I've never six, had a straight thought in my life. 6 is
paging Dr. Freud, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, but at least it's a starting point.
So, I just want to stop there. I'm going to let you finish.
I'm going to let you finish.
But I just want to stop there.
Is this where you tell me Masters and Johnson put out the best paper of all time?
No. This is where I point out to our listeners that you just used a completely subjective scale to present your argument on the numbers.
Oh, well, no, and I do.
It's the equivalent of a poll taken of married couples about cheating that's conducted in pairs in front of an interviewer. Mrs. Smith, have you ever been unfaithful to your husband? Why, no. Mr. Smith, have you ever been unfaithful to your spouse? Of course not. New poll finds no one cheats. Just like no one eats McDonald's, and right. No one smokes cigarettes, and no one does this.
No one goes to Walmart. No one eats right. a Taco Bell. Just ask them. No, I fucking hate Taco Bell. I fucking hate Walmart. Hey, yeah, you know where?
Exactly. Well, you know, it was close, and
there
I was
go, good. It was cheap, and I was hungry, and the bar just let out. And
right. and that's the issue with those things. But at the end of the day, taking those issues, right, taking something that is meaningful to you, whether it's how you were wronged or how an opportunity was missed, or in a lot of cases, I personally believe these things start because of just a loss. I wanted this. Go back to last week's movie Bob fiasco. Who are these fuckers that deprived me of the future I earned?
Oh, yes! Holy! Hey, incidentally, that was brilliant. You wasn't that guy.
Dude.
Sir, this is a Circle K.
the guy is the symbol of asshattery.
Oh, yeah.
Even, you know what? Had he been a ditch digger who supported a family of 6... who all of these things and all of his life worked and busted his ass to be able to have the Jetsons flying car or whatever bullshit that he was using as the totem for I just got to keep my head up and keep moving.
Right.
I would never have fucking bothered that dude. I would have just hung back and go, yeah, kind of a closed-minded view, bro, but you do you.
Weird flex, bro, but okay. Yeah.
You're a fucking 40-year-old man who reviews movies and video games.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with it whatsoever. But to imply that you have earned something...
Your fucking flying cards. By reviewing movies is off. Probably not accurate.
Right, but that's how these things form, right? Someone says something stupid like that, the entire rest of the world goes, bro, seriously? This is the one you're going to the mat for. Okay, you know what? Fuck you. Well, and that's how these things are born.
Except that's not what I saw in that thread. What I saw in that thread was a bunch of people, yeah, man, you're right. Where the fuck is my flying car? I earned it. Dude, no, you didn't.
Dude, by the middle of that book, every sailor on the fucking Pequod hated that fucking whale as much as Ahab did.
I wish he'd just kill this motherfucker so we can get on with our lives.
Not because it took their leg, not because it did anything, but because their asses were out there chasing it because the captain was a fucking lunatic.
Well, and it makes you wonder, were they grateful to be out there? Man, thank God that whale. I needed this job.
Well, right, and so that's the half cup always full, right?
Exactly. Call me Ishmael. I was out of work down at the Texas Workforce Commission.
Exactly.
Some dude with a shitty attitude and one leg came in and said, fuck that fish. I said, damn right, fuck that fish.
And I said, I'm going to follow that guy. And someone said, hey, you know that whole fake leg thing is a complete call out to a fucking Oedipus complex, right? And I went, look, is he paying?
Wait.
Oh, dude, I'll send you the paper.
Oh, please don't.
I'll send you the paper.
Oh, please don't.
Captain Ahab is equal parts this character, this character, this character, and this character, as is every fucking fictional character ever.
Wait, I've got to clarify something here. We're halfway through the show. I have never read Moby Dick in my fucking life. But for some reason, it is so ingrained. It is so baked in to Star Trek culture. Even I get the fucking references. I have some sense of familiarity with the material. Did you remember First Contact, where he gives that speech, the line must be drawn here,
right,
this far, right, and no further. That's one of the great moments in film, period. But it is easily one of the top three best moments in Star Trek film.
And I accept that. I don't.
Yeah, no, you never watched. You never finished watching Deep Space fucking Nine.
How dude, I didn't finish watching the first three episodes of Deep Space Nine.
Oh my god,
it's
that's
not
a lot
my,
of fail, bro.
It's not my thing. I can't. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm telling you, until Sisko shaves his head and grows a beard, you're not gonna like it.
You and everybody else has told me that, and I understand that you feel strongly about it. And you and Leppy and everybody else.
See, don't sit there and try to pacify me. People who won't fucking watch Star Trek are what's wrong with this goddamn world.
There you go. There you go.
You want your goddamn liberal utopian future, but you don't want to fucking put the time in.
Right. Right. And that's, there you go, right? At the end of the day, the biggest issue is that everybody's going to find something that stands out, something that makes them feel good. And at the end of the day, all it takes to perpetuate a habit is for them to take enjoyment from it. Whether it be the enjoyment of cackling like a madman as they post like crazy on Twitter.
Hey, wait, I feel attacked.
Whether it be the enjoyment of feeling that they're part of some in-group that they really value and they hold dear. Regardless of what it is, they're taking something from it. And because of that, they feed it. I want revenge. I lost a leg. I'm going to go kill that big fucking fish. Well, hey, look, this shit happened. We should probably set back. No. Hey, look, this other thing happened. We should probably set back. No. And again, to your, this, no. This, the dude cannot abide.
Right? This aggression will not stand,
right,
man.
And so, you know, and that's...
Holy shit. The Big Lebowski is passive aggressive Ahab is an analysis somebody else has to do.
Right. It tied the room together. Whatever, make your, at least it's an ethos. Whatever, shut the fuck up, Donnie. You're out of your element. Whatever you need to get out there, go ahead and get it out.
Oh,
no,
shit.
No, you're Mr. Lebowski.
I'm the dude.
Can we talk for a second about how sad it is that he reenacted that role to sell beer?
Why would that be sad?
It's just wrong. It's just wrong, dude. You cannot do that. Have you seen that Stella commercial?
No.
All right, so they take the bitch, Horseface.
Sarah Jessica, yes, Parker.
She walks in her Sex and the City character.
You know, one of these days, Matthew Broderick's going to ball his fist and punch you right in the mouth.
Dude, you know what?
You can't talk about that man's wife like that.
The day I take one to the chin from Ferris Bueller.
Standing on a stool.
Yeah. He can hit me with that Inspector Gadget hand. He can do whatever he likes. It's all good. I'll turn around and say, would you like to play a game? And we'll go to town. But no, she walks in the Sex and the City character, and they try to bring her a Cosmo, and she's like, no, bring me a Stella. And they're like, oh, that's taken aback. And then fucking Lebowski walks into the bar, and the bartender goes, White Russian? He's like, nah, man, give me a Stella. And then the two of them look at each other across the bar and kind of raise a glass like, no!
I'm sorry, there's still a weird bit of me that is kind of reeling from you fighting the amalgam of Matthew Broderick characters.
Right? Dude, I didn't mention, oh shit, the Ferris monkey. Bueller? The monkey one.
Oh, Project X.
Yeah. I almost said Weapon X. That would have been a completely different movie. And dude, hey, you know what? Marvel bought all that shit. Marvel, if you're hearing me, Matthew Broderick is old Logan.
Oh, God.
No. You know what? Not even I can pitch that shit. Normally, I think there's nothing I can't take on, but I'm not going to take that one.
I don't know, dude. Watching Matthew Broderick play Wolverine while he's pretending to be Ethan Frome, the Sausage King of Chicago, that's good for at least 5 minutes of film right there.
Snick, snick.
Exactly. Hey, bub.
Oh, that's fucked up. And you know the rest of the people from that movie could really use the work.
Oh, dude.
Last time I saw Mia Sara was on the back of a milk carton in 1986.
Have you seen this actress?
We're convinced she was never really there. But you
can... Dude, I'm telling you, if you throw her in there as Mystique and you throw a fucking whiny ass Cameron as Cyclops, I'm totally fucking in, dude. As a matter of fact, no, not Mystique. She's got to be Jean Grey, you know, to complete
the triangle. Yeah, you got to complete the triangle. Can we get, what's his name out of prison?
Who?
Howard the Duck?
No, he's
Dean Rooney. Does he have to stay in prison?
Well, yeah, because.
Well, he was touching porn. Little kids, yeah. That's it. Just work release?
No, not a work release.
It doesn't work without it.
We don't negotiate with terrorists. We don't forgive fucking pedophiles.
Look, you can't name anybody else in that movie, and you wouldn't recognize Jennifer Grey to look at her, so who else? No, we can dig up Charlie Sheen.
I don't think you have to dig him up. I don't think he's quite dead.
Well, no, but, I mean, he's career-wise, he's dead.
Yeah.
Unless they decide to dig up Bob Uecker or make another Major League movie, Charlie Sheen's career is pretty much kaput.
I don't know if Bob Uecker's dead. If he did, I hope he died.
Bob Uecker's got to be dead.
I hope he died in a glory of excessive peace.
In the front row?
Because between Major League, Mr. fucking Belvedere.
The Miller Lite commercials?
And Miller Lite commercials, dude. I don't know fuck all about baseball. But you know what? I know who Bob Uecker is.
Fair enough, dude. Oh, no. My God. I think he's still alive.
Bob Uecker? Oh, you're actually looking that up right now?
Yeah, I'm looking it up. I got to know now. Yeah, that fucker's alive. 85.
Fucking A. Congratulations, Bob Uecker.
Yeah, you know, this one's for you, Bob Uecker. Tastes great.
It's less filling. And then a bull comes through a wall, and for some reason, Dr. Hook's behind it. Beer commercials back then were very, very strange.
Those were second only to the Billy Dee Williams commercials.
Oh, yeah. Don't let smooth taste fool you.
Exactly. It's fucking wearing the Lando cape and everything.
Again, dude, he's got a closet full of nothing but capes.
Dude, Donald Glover could actually be the resurgence of malt liquor.
Dude, that's racist.
He could be Billy Dee Williams all the way through. Because he could totally pull that shit off.
Including doing fried chicken commercials in the reboot of Undercover Brother?
Why not?
Why not? No point doing this half-ass. Sure, I can act as a reboot of a character, but can I act as a reboot of a person?
Dude.
Of an actual actor?
That would work too, because Denise Richards and Neil Patrick Harris could use the work. They're not making any more Harold and Kumar movies, so Neil Patrick Harris is kind of out of line.
No, the weirdest thing I saw was Patrick Harris playing a straight dude in Gone Girl.
Yes, that was sketchy.
That was weird.
Well, dude, because the way they wrote that character was so like, oh yeah, I can totally see this guy going all sorts of freaky deaky.
Yeah, it was a great movie. You should definitely watch
The weirder thing was seeing Ben Affleck play a straight guy in Gone Girl.
Hey, but it was a good film. It was good in it.
It was a good flick, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Definitely a good flick. But, okay, so, yeah, Was that me? Did I do that?
It's always fucking you. You do it on purpose. You fucking troll. That's what you do. But, no, so, go back and... there are... Economies are subtle, intricate things, and it's not Trump's fault. As it turns out, economies are largely, I don't want to say they're unaffected by who's president, but they are unaffectable by who is president. The economy can react. For example, when Trump was elected, we saw a brief rally in the stock market that people attributed to the optimism from Trump being elected.
Right.
I'm not saying that was actually causally related. I'm saying that investor sentiment may count for something.
The investor movement is going to be slightly whimsical anyway, right? Because yep. No one's playing the stock market to toe the line. They're playing the stock market to try to get gains. The impact of a president on the economy is much more direct, a la steel tariffs, a la all of these other things that do have impact.
Well, and now, wait
they
a minute.
They may be a small
bump. How
the fuck
is he going to set steel tariffs?
He did set steel tariffs.
Okay, how is he getting away with that? What, you would
he
think
signed
that would
an
be...
executive order.
Ah, see, and that's the fucking problem.
Agreed, and that's one of the things that draws a lot of people to the turn-a-punch-bowl comments about Trump.
Yeah.
He is the problem. Michelle Obama, I heard a snippet of her today describing America as a teenager living in a broken home with a bad parent.
Oh my God!
Now, rhetoric aside, because let's face it, anything that Michelle Obama can dish out is going to ultimately be much more classy and well-delivered than anything Trump will come back with.
Yes.
Trump's comebacks verge on the shit that got Don Imus kicked off the radio.
Right.
The only difference is Don Imus had to answer for what he did.
Right.
But no, I mean, at the end of the day, you will never get away from somebody pointing at something and that right there. It's not a new phenomenon. This is what's wrong with America today. That comment's existed for many, many moons.
Fair, but it seems to be
amplified
more now. Yeah, it seems to be much more amplified.
Everything is more amplified now.
And that's kind of what's got me weirded out. I understand that people are spending lonelier lives connected to more people digitally.
Right.
And somehow, instead of having these more involved conversations, what could the president actually do? What could this, how could Congress fix this? How could...
Right.
This, but anyway, isn't that the political party of whatever issue? For example, the Democrats and the green issues. Well, shouldn't they have something? No, not that Green New Deal. That's fucking batshit crazy. Where's the real plan?
Right. Well, so the Green New Deal is the antithesis to the Republican health care plan.
Well,
right. There's we wrote some shit down.
Right.
Just go ahead and okay this for now. Let's handshake this for now.
Oh shit. Yeah.
And then we're gonna sit down and do the real thing. This is the problem with instant gratification. This is the problem with a disposable consumer culture. You don't like what you had for dinner last night? Have something new tonight. Don't like the politics that you had last month? Here's something completely new. It's just as inane. There's literally no difference between this brand of crazy and that brand of crazy, but that one didn't work out for you. So let's shuffle the next one in.
Yep. Maybe you should stop trying brands of crazy looking for sane.
Well, but it's how we live our lives.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm on about, is that that needs to stop. Because let's face it, Trump as a president, I'm willing to hear, of course, all arguments that executive power has been overreached and has had scope creep going back to, shit, at least the first George Bush.
Fair enough.
I'm willing to hear all those arguments. Right, but can we agree that in that particular sense, Trump is a symptom of that problem? Right, Trump is not the problem. The use and overreach of executive power is the problem. Trump is not the evil. The fact of the matter is that the evil is the fact that we let that scope out. We let that creep.
Right, right. Well, and that's fair. However, you know, it's very easy to look at the biggest guy in the building and go, this is all your fault. At the end of the day, the executive power exists in order for... It's an escape valve in a dam. You gotta let some shit through every once in a while. And given the fact that both houses of our government can't seem to legislate their way out of a paper fucking bag, the only thing they can legislate is... we get a raise and we're not using that shitty healthcare. It's literally the only thing that they can come together as a group and agree on. So that executive power to push things through that has been used in the past, but let's face it, Trump and Obama by far and away
took it to a whole other level. Yeah.
Right. So the thing is it's a great deal if it's your brand of insanity sitting in that seat. It's what's moving the country along. It's what's draining the swamp. But if the other type of crazy, the one that you don't prescribe to, is sitting in power and doing those things, then it's the worst fucking thing that ever could happen.
Then again, I would make the argument that, once again, this isn't about Trump. It's not about Obama. No. It's about the fact that the politics has gotten so polarized that people can't get their shit together in Congress. If Congress doesn't function, then it almost... nature abhors a vacuum.
Right.
A power vacuum doubly so.
Right.
So they will go and they can get away with this because Congress isn't getting anything done.
Right.
You know, you can blame that on whichever side you want. But it's been going on for quite some time, especially since most presidents see a switch of either one side of Congress or the other during their terms.
Right.
That's not uncommon at all.
Well, because we thrash back and forth. We go, that crazy didn't work, time for the new crazy. That crazy didn't work, time for the new crazy.
Do you have any fresh new crazy?
Hey, we've got a libertarian here. Oh, fuck you.
Fuck you, libertarian.
We're not crazy. That's literally where we stand. And it's not a product of government. It's not a product of any one thing. If you want to lay it at the feet of anything, you lay it at the feet of technology.
Okay.
Technology.
Here's apparently your big pillar of evil.
No. It's not. It's a tool.
Agreed.
An amplification device amplifies the good and the bad. That's just the way it works. So what you have now is you have the ability for high speed, low drag, straight into your fucking eyeballs, straight into your ear holes, straight into your brain of here's what to think, here's what to buy, here's what to do. We refer to it as media, but at the end of the day, you can call it what you like. But the message is what's driving our culture. The you got to have it now. You got to do this. You got to, you know, we were talking about smartphones at the beginning of the show. We've talked about this before. 90% of the people in any given room right now do not own the device they're carrying in their pocket.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're so unwilling to commit to that because the next thing is on its way.
Well, either that or they just can't fucking flat out afford it, so they got to pay it on time.
Right, right. But the thing is even those people can't flat out afford it and they got to pay for it on time, they're never going to pay for it on time because when the new one comes, they're going to get it too because their credit will allow them.
Hey, sooner or later, that credit runs out.
Well, but as long as they're making payments, AT&T is going to give them the phone, Verizon's going to give them the phone.
Dig your grave as deep as you want.
Exactly. You can pay me $36 a month for 12 months and then never pay me again, or I can get what I get out of you
and sell your debt. Right. Somebody else, right. And then it goes on and on.
You're still value, because our capitalist society could not find enough ways to gamble. So yeah, we can sell the debt to a guy who's going to buy it for, you know, a penny on the dollar, hoping that he can get a half cent on the dollar.
Yeah.
Fuck it, whatever. But that's the nature of it. We as a people are not suffering under this. This is not something that we as a people have had done to us.
Who did this to you?
So at the end of the day, if you want to rally against the one true evil, the way to do it is not to put up signs and put up websites and GoFundMe accounts and, you know, stream from your YouTube and start a fucking podcast.
Hey,
that's not the way to do it. The way to do it is turn that shit off. You know, get out of the notion that simply because you've heard someone's message, because they have the ability to deliver that message. Sunday, CNN, right? So CNN has become the All Democrats All the Time channel, right? We're up to like 22 primary candidates at the moment. They had some woman on Sunday afternoon who, I don't remember her name, it was like Marianne or some shit, who wants to start a department of peace farming or peace negotiating or something that is equal or a little bit above the Department of Justice and the Department of... We've become too divisive as a nation, and we need to be fostering. This woman is literally talking about the power of love in ruling the country. This is something that would be a fucking Mad TV skit in the mid-90s.
And yet
she got an hour on CNN. Now, granted, it was on Sunday afternoon, and
they've got to have content.
There was golf on, so Tiger was over there winning. As a matter of fact, they were scrolling Tiger in the bottom while she was talking. But no, I mean, that at the end of the day, can't stop the signal. No, you can stop the signal. You can't stop it for everybody, but you can stop it for yourself. You can tone it down. You can moderate it in some way. And then perhaps that moment of introspection becomes truly introspective as opposed to who am I going to blame for all this shit?
And it's hard to have that moment of introspection whenever someone's constantly shouting in your ear.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, you know, we're taking the piss out of that lady for having this the Healing Power of Love Committee,
right,
or whatever it is. Right. And yet we started this podcast just to get people to talk to each other civilly.
And let me, using the parlance of the media, let me walk that back for a moment.
Okay.
I'm not taking the piss out of her because she wants to use the healing power of love. I would never... Now, okay, hold on. Let me
get over. Yeah, easy there, killer.
I would never realistically take a shot at somebody for having what I perceive to be a naive notion. Now, I might troll the fuck out of them for fun, but me personally,
you lying ass, you would, you will, and you have.
Not Thundersnow, but Thundersnow's friend, as if we were Disney cast members, would appreciate the fact that she's standing her ground, right? And this is the year for it, right? 90% of the people that are throwing their hat in the ring for the Democratic primary are doing so to get their message out.
Yeah.
They know they're not going to win. They're hoping to get enough signatures and enough votes in the polls to get up on a stage and ignore every direct question that they're asked in order to use the bully pulpit to push their agenda. Right. And that's fine. God bless them for it. However, no one's voting for this bitch. Her friends are not going to vote for her. She's not a realistic candidate for president.
Okay.
But on the flip side, using the power of CNN and the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, a 37-year-old mayor is.
Which is
not
weird.
Not because he runs a fantastic city. Not because he's got the fiscal sense to try to draw things. Not because he has a legal background to legislate. None of those things. Because he's young, white, veteran, homosexual, Christian.
Okay.
He's like the wet dream. He falls into all of these boxes, but he's still a white guy.
Wait. Okay, I'll understand. I will attempt to understand that coalitions get built, right? And even when they're uneasy coalitions. Mm-hmm. So I get that there can be some strength in piling on people who are pretty close to what you believe and are willing to share your ideas to get things done.
Right.
Now, this turned around from the other side is having a candidate, like you said, like this guy, who, what's his name?
Pete Buttigieg.
Buttigieg?
Mm-hmm.
Buttigieg?
Buttigieg, yeah. Buttigieg, I believe is how it's spelled.
Oh, I have seen that.
Mayor Pete.
That's probably why he goes by that.
Exactly.
Because if you're a gay guy named
Buttigieg.
Yeah. Or worse, booty gig. That's I can see how maybe, you know.
Dollars to donuts. That guy has been Captain Booty. And again, I'm just trying to be funny, guys. I'm not taking the piss out of him. But at the same time, this is how the Democratic ticket gets built, right? And so if you're against the Democratic Party, if that's your thing, right? You know, looking through some of the comments on Twitter, right? The left wants to do this. The left wants to do that. The right's just as guilty of it as the left is. But there are a lot of people that are hanging their hat on that particular peg, right? If the Democrats would just shut up and go away, we could get things right. They're trying like hell to fill every fucking space on the bingo card in this primary. There's something for everybody in this primary. And it dilutes the brand.
Well, it does. Does it really? How many people do you think vote in the primary that don't vote in the general?
I would argue that it's a small number that vote in the primary but don't go to the general.
If you can just get them to the polls for the primary, if you can just find the candidate that interests them enough to get them to the primary, you've pretty much guaranteed a Democratic vote, or regardless of the party.
So tell that to Bernie Sanders.
Well, I see that's the deal.
See, that's the problem. You diluted the message there. Now, granted, I was less likely to vote for Bernie than I was anybody else on the ticket.
Because, actually, Longhorn Dave said something, what was it, last week before? He's like, you know, the Democratic arguments against the Electoral College would be a lot more fucking convincing if they didn't use superdelegates in their primary process. Which was fucking brilliant, right? And he's got a fucking legit point. Because, let's face it, as I recall, Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton were pretty much fucking neck and neck. It was the superdelegates that killed him.
Of course, right.
Yeah.
And you had people, you had superdelegates being interviewed on the courthouse steps on their way in. What are you going to do? Well, you know. But that's the problem, right? So we as a people have to decide what it is we value. If we're all actually this angry, if everybody is legitimately a hair trigger from ripping the ass out of anybody for anything, we can't look at external issues. We can't blame any one thing for that. At the end of the day, even if it is Fox News, if, say Fox News is the fucking kryptonite of the planet and it's going to destroy us all, if you've allowed it to have that much of an impact on your life, you're the one at fault.
Well, but again, from the other perspective, Fox News is having an impact on people's lives by generating, by literally being, from their perspective, a hate factory. You know, that Fox News has been, well, rousing this rabble, or rabble-rousing, or whatever the correct conjugation of that verb is.
Right.
And it's been making these people like this, and then I'm over here and I don't like those people.
Right.
Wait, maybe those people will have a legitimate bitch. And incidentally, this works just as well on the MSNBC, yeah, CNN
side.
Yeah,
of course, yeah.
But it's, you know, I joke all the time about how, you know, we know we're doing something right on this podcast whenever we're about half a step ahead of pop culture.
Right.
And NPR literally just fucking released an article this goddamn week about how empathy's dead.
Right.
The idea that you would ever sympathize or empathize with someone who is supposed to be your political or ideological or cultural opposite,
right,
is taboo. You cannot do that anymore.
So, and this is what it boils down to. At the end of the day, we're all human. And because we're human, we're going to make mistakes. Some people's mistakes are going to offend you. Some people's mistakes may even harm you. At the end of the day, how we get back to getting, how we handle that is by actually dealing with the problem. Rather than giving someone the Heisman, at the best case, to literally attacking them and making it your life's goal, making them your white whale, is we try to understand. We have to understand. Because we can make mistakes, right, then we have to believe that other people are going to make them too. They have the same capacity. All of us have hurt somebody. All of us have made mistakes that we regret. We have to get back. We don't need to dwell in them. We don't need to grovel in them. But we have to be aware of them, because that awareness of self allows us to empathize with the other. And if you can't look in your own mirror, you can't look at anybody with any sense of compassion or empathy or anything. And that's where we're at. It's much easier to scream through the internet, through the keyboard, through the microphone, through the video camera, at all these people that have done you wrong. You got to step back. You have to take measure, and you have to get rid of the things that don't work for you in your life. Some things you love, they don't love you anymore. just like you could eat this when you were a kid, and now as an adult it makes you sick. Just like you could breathe outside at night when you lived here, but not when you moved there. Things, even the things you love, can become toxic. And if they've become toxic, then it's up to you to take responsibility for it and push it away. Don't punch somebody because you're angry. Punch somebody if they fucking wronged you. I would argue we were a better citizenship when people still did that.
There are arguments to be made there, and to be honest with you, it's why I'm kind of willing to let kids fight up to about the age of 12. Right about the point where they start turning into young adults and they actually have the size, capacity, and strength
to actually really do damage, yes. Right,
and then all of a sudden...
There is nothing that will squash a fucking debate quicker than someone believing in it enough to throw a fist. And you know what? There's nothing that will back up a hater faster than the thought that, oh shit, he might actually hit me. And at the end of the day, a little of that
goes a long way.
I think we'll you know, really, there's no better way to learn something about yourself than to get punched in the fucking face. Because you're going to learn some shit.
How important really is this to me right now?
Is this important? This shit really kind of hurts. Am I willing to die behind this? Is this the hill you want to die on? Is not a saying that came from Washington. Right? It is a saying that came from guys that were covered in shit and blood, surrounded by gunfire, and some guy telling them to march up that hill.
Wait, this one really?
No, we're not going to do that, Sarge. Tell you what, you go on up first. We'll be right behind you.
Let us know how it is when you get there.
But those are the real things. So at the end of the day, if someone wrongs you, you don't have to forgive them. But you also aren't obligated to spend the rest of your life wronging them. To quote my aged grandmother, bless her soul, two wrongs don't make a right. And that's all I got to say about that.
Dude. Well, let me do the other. First of all, that was a great closing. We should let you close the show more often. But on the other side of that, let me go ahead and say that, you know, one of the ways that you can stop having these white whales is the same way T. Snow was talking about how you were wrong once. Go ahead and accept the fact that some people may be wrong from time to time. I'm going to tell you that the way to bring back a little moderation, a little cool-headedness, a little opportunity to take a breath and be introspective is by accepting the fact, not that you were wrong once, but that you've been right before. And they might be right this time. The same way, just because you fuck up once doesn't mean you fuck up for the rest of your life. It doesn't have to be that way. If you were right once, you're not going to be right for the rest of your life. And if you were right once, maybe that guy's right too. Or maybe there's some kernel. And granted, with internet discussion very much, it's like picking popcorn out of human shit. But you can find those tiny little nuggets that are worth saving. Don't repop those. Don't eat those. But shit nugget. That can be your... That's the new hashtag. We should start doing that John Oliver bullshit. Yeah. Hashtag shit nugget. Yeah.
Done deal. That'll be our truth bomb.
But, and just like with snake oil salesmen, whenever they show up and tell you, no, this cures colds, mold, sore assholes, and it makes childbirth a fucking pleasure. Anytime someone tells you they have the cure for everything, or anytime someone tells you that they have the ultimate evil for everything, they're misleading you. Scope that. It's okay to be angry about stuff. It's okay to go out and go, no, that is bad. That needs to be undone. But once it becomes all-consuming in your life, once it becomes this weird pillar, this weird altar that you worship at, once it consumes your one-legged life to the point that you're willing to set out on the high seas with a boat full of people who probably got better shit to do than watch you fucking stick a fish,
right,
then your life is out of control. And please, nerds, do not even once fucking tweet us, yes, we know whales are mammals.
At the end of the day, what you take from this is basically the one leg, the fake leg of today's haters basically comes in the form of, I'm a blank and I vote bumper stickers. So if you see one of those people today on your way home, you know, you're in rush hour right now, most of you. If you see one of those people, honk at them, wave at them, smile at them. If they are of the sex which you are attracted to, flirt with them a little bit. Do your part to try to chill everyone the fuck out. And that will be the first shit nugget.
And that will be the first shit nugget. Okay, that's it for us this week.
I am still the Wiggle Rat.
And I am still Thundersnow. Peace.